Back in the 50s and 60s, there was a common expression, you can't win for losing. This expression meant that no matter what you did, how well you did it, or how good a deed it was, you ended up losing out. It was almost the fulfillment of another expression. No good deed goes unpunished. The reality of this can be experienced by the best of us with the best intentions. Today, of course, is Mother's Day. This is the day during which we give special tribute to our mothers with gifts, loving thoughts, and memories. But perhaps almost all mothers at one time or another have been impacted by the anguish of no good deed goes unpunished. Sometimes children, and especially young people, can be so thoughtless and ungrateful for all of the efforts and love which mothers and fathers extend to them. These are times which test not only one's soul, but one's love. But a mother's love, a parent's love, cannot be denied, but cannot be destroyed. All of the love which is given eventually comes into focus by one's children, and hopefully they return it. But even if it isn't that, a mother's love, although tarnished, continues to her dying breath. It is for this reason we take time to say thank you. Thank you to our mothers, whether they are with us or not. And hopefully put to rest with them the term no good deed goes unpunished. We do this by saying thanks. But the saying does live on, though, for that is a negative of humanity. Yes, there are those times in life when you just can't win for losing. Or even better, no good deed goes unpunished. We can do what we think is right, the right thing to do, or the right thing to say, and in truth it just may be. But how others take it, or the results, may turn out to be just the opposite. In such instances, we then face the consequences, even though the deed or what we said was in and of itself good and compassionate. One only has to look at martyrs throughout history to see this. Most of these martyrs lived their lives which contributed positively to life, but in doing so, alienated those who had negative and evil agendas. Evil cannot tolerate good. Evil cannot tolerate good and must eliminate it in order to survive. You know, as Christianity began to spread throughout the Mediterranean world, it became a threat not only to the Jewish establishment, but even to a greater extent, to the culture, traditions, religion, and establishment of the great Roman Empire. The book of Acts relates this story. When the good news of Christianity was proclaimed, the news of God's love and forgiveness, people began to flock to the message, resulting in many conversions in a rapidly growing early church. As a result, these early converts began to reject the traditions of Roman society, which led the authorities to begin to see them as a threat to the social and political fabric of the empire. As this perceived threat grew, so did the desire to eliminate this movement. And even though it stood for ultimate good of the people, they did that, just that, tried to eliminate them. One would think those early persecuted Christians would say, "You can't win for losing, or no good deed goes unpunished." But that would not be the case. For with the presence of God and His love, it was just the opposite. There was no losing. No losing for them, no matter how others treated them. The fact is that the message of Jesus' life is through God's love, which knows no losers. Knows no losers. A good example of this can be found in the story about Paul and Silas while they were still in Philippi. They must have begun to become known, for one day while they were walking along, a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit of divination followed them. To be possessed with such a spirit brought with it wild talk, which was considered to be fortune-telling. And her owners took advantage of this by making much money for her services of fortune-telling. You know, even today, people pay good money to have their fortunes foretold. Seems to be a human trait to want to know what is ahead so that we may prepare for it or try to escape it. Throughout history, there have been leaders of the world who employed the services of fortune tellers of one sort or another in order to make their decisions. History is loaded with this. This particular slave girl would not leave them alone, though. She followed them, shouting out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She didn't just do this one day, but every day that Silas and Paul were out walking, she would be there following them. Finally, she became such an annoyance to Paul that he directed the spirit to leave her. "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And then we are told that within the hour, the slave girl was healed of that spirit. Now, you can imagine, this did not set well with her owners. For now her fortune-telling abilities had left her. They were now left without the easy money-making ability of their slave and were extremely unhappy. And they sought revenge. Even though Paul performed the act of healing a human being of the anguish of being possessed, he seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the authorities. Their accusation before the magistrate was, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." This played upon the prejudice against the Jews, which was then picked up by the crowd, for they began to attack Paul and Silas. And the magistrate at that time did not know that Paul was a Roman citizen. Had both Paul and Silas stripped and flogged. It must be noted that a Roman citizen was never to receive such a punishment. Then they were thrown into a maximum security area of the prison and bound in chains. This was indeed a good deed gone wrong. It was a time when Paul and Silas could have cried out, "You can't win for losing. No good deed goes unpunished." But that was not the case. In the darkness of the night, Paul and Silas seemed to be undisturbed about the whole thing, for they prayed and sang hymns while the other prisoners listened to them. And then, suddenly, the night was interrupted by an earthquake. An earthquake wild enough to shake the prison foundation, opening all the doors and unfastening everyone's chains. When the prison guard woke up and saw the doors opened and the chains unfettered, he knew what his punishment would be for losing his prisoners. Therefore, he drew the sword to commit suicide. But Paul interrupted him with the news that they hadn't made their escape, but were still there. "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." It was there and then that the prison guard was converted. "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Paul's response, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." It was then that he and his family were baptized. At this time, it was revealed that Paul was a Roman citizen and should never have been treated like he was treated. Thus, the authorities had him released and ordered to leave town. It is very interesting to note that the good deed of the healing of the slave girl, which seemed to turn into a losing situation for Paul and Silas, was not that at all. It became a winning situation, since the prison guard and his family found a new life in God's love. Therefore, the saying now could be, "You can't lose for winning," or "No good deed is without its ultimate reward." This is even when the punishment is death, as in the case of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, whose last confession was seen by the doctor overseeing the execution, which that doctor never, never forgot. Upon facing the gallows, Bonhoeffer reaffirmed the glory of the resurrected Lord and the promise of eternal life as the ultimate win in life. Paul would later write to the Philippians of this ultimate victory. when he stated, and this is so true, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The ultimate confession which a Christian can make, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live a life in God's love will not always be understood by others, nor will others always look upon us with favor, because the good we may do may interfere with their selfish agendas. We may end up saying, I can't win for losing. Even as mothers and fathers, this may be the case. But that is no excuse for not continuing to live this life in Christ and to live the compassion, the love, and the forgiveness which God extends to us. The good news is that we will not be losers. We will not be losers, but winners, for we have the joy of knowing the fulfillment of love through the resurrected Christ. Therefore, we can always say, in Christ, we will always be the ultimate winner. In Christ, we will always be the ultimate winner. Think about that. Amen.